Although assigned to national headquarters in the Tony town of Berkeley, the gritty port city of Oakland was the real shebang. That was where Huey grew up. It was where the party came into being. I longed to go there, and one day was sent there to sell some papers. I was thrilled. When I got to West Oakland, I was struck by several things. First, the ordinariness of it. Second, I was again amazed at what folks here considered ghetto and how that term is often relative. The houses there, semi-detached and surrounded by green carpets of grass, closely resembled the houses in Philadelphia's West Oak Lane neighborhoods, which were seen by the ghetto residents of Philly as good living. Compared to the fine homes in the nearby hills, they were, of course, of lesser quality. Third, I was struck by the quiet level of hostility I sensed when I tried to sell the newspaper around the community. I had sold it in Philadelphia, in the Bronx, in Queens, and in Harlem. Yet this was the first time I sensed such resistance. Nobody verbalized anything, but it was written on too many street faces to ignore. Why? I never learned why, but I gathered that they stepped on plenty of toes, perhaps in the drug world. It reminded me that ghettos still possess a certain sameness. There is an unmistakable psychic aura of funk about them. It was in Oakland that I received my introduction to the local constabulary, but it was not in the green ghetto of West Oakland. Sheila and I were sent out to sell papers, and we ventured to downtown Oakland to hawk our wares. We concentrated on office buildings and places where it seemed people would congregate in midday or lunchtime. When I crossed the street, I did so in the middle of the block instead of at the crosswalk. No sooner had I crossed when a numbered cop car appeared at the scene. Cop came up, explained that I had violated an Alameda County ordinance against jaywalking, and proceeded to cite me. I was dumbfounded. I was under arrest for jaywalking. And because Sheila had crossed shortly after, the cops pulled up, so was she. I had yearned to see Oakland, I thought to myself. Now I'm going to meet the most vicious, racist pigs in America. I expected to get whipped unconscious by these black-uniformed creeps. I could not be more shocked that I could be arrested for jaywalking. I just knew this was a pretext for something real nasty. The cops handcuffed me and Sheila as I braced for a pummeling or a rain of racist insults. The cop spoke with such politeness that I was indeed shocked. Sir this and sir that and ma'am this and ma'am that. I had never heard cops talk this way, either in Philadelphia or in the Bronx. Watch your head, sir, as I was placed in the vehicle, cuffed. I looked at Sheila and I just knew that when we got to the station or precinct or whatever they called it out here, the blackjacks, the kicks, the punches would rain like water. To my utter surprise, they never came. Our newspapers were seized, and as we were juveniles, we were taken to the Alameda County Juvenile Hall. It was then that the real meaning of what had happened dawned on me. What does it matter how polite the cops are when they lock you up and put you in jail for jaywalking? If we were not selling copies of the Black Panther, would this have happened? I don't think so. They were beating us softly. I went to jail. It was a juvenile jail, as I was under 21, but it was a jail nonetheless. I was remanded to the juvenile authority because, unlike Sheila, I was some 3,000 miles away from home. There was no way my mom would or even could come pick me up. For starters, she hadn't the slightest idea where I was. I thought about all the other Panthers in cells all across the nation, Bobby Seale and Erica Huggins facing death in New Haven, the Panther 21 facing centuries in New York's gulags, the Panthers who were recently busted in a Southern California shootout at the L.A. chapter. Brothers and sisters like me, and thoughts of them warmed me like a campfire near the soul. They were facing real drama. Here I was, for jaywalking. I had nothing to holler about. I stretched out on the cool, plastic-covered mattress and slept. Several days later, I was taken to the counselor's office there, and a man began asking questions about who I was and why wasn't I in school, and so on. I explained to him that I was working for the Black Panther Party. At one point, he said, "Young man, don't you know that we can keep you here until you're 21 years old?" I looked him in the eye and said, "So what? When I get out, there'll still be a Black Panther Party." He shook his head. Moments later, he was dialing the phone to my mother's house in Philadelphia, asked to verify her name, and passed the phone over to me. "Mama, Wes, the name she gave me at birth. Is that you? Yes, Mama. Boy, what did I hear this man saying? Where are you? I'm in Alameda County, what? Boy, what are you doing? You better carry your narrow behind, boy. What in the Sam Hill, what? Mama, I'm working out here on the paper for the party, you know. Didn't I just hear this man say you was calling from some kind of jail? Mama, I'm in here for jaywalking. Out here, they're real strict about traffic laws. I just crossed the street, and crossed the street? Boy, you done crossed the whole country. West? Boy, if you don't get your bony behind back here, Mama, I can't. I'm doing important work, Mama. Like getting yourself locked up, boy. How important is that? Mama, it's going to be all right. We got lawyers out here that are real good. There ain't nothing but harassment. When the last time you heard about somebody getting busted for jaywalking, huh, Mom? Boy, Boy, you is something else, boy. I'm telling you, Boy, you crazy. You know that, don't you? Her maternal fear was melting to pride that her boy was doing something so aggressively about her people. She was afraid. She was angry. But she was pleased as well. I could hear it in her voice, her high country laugh. She knew that I felt deeply about what I was doing. As I listened to her pride and love override her fear, I thought about the many mothers like her, like Sheila's mother, probably good church-going or temple-going folks, who were probably simpatico with the sweet teachings of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but who, deep down, were proud of the moxie shown by the Panthers. They might not help with the breakfast program, but when they read of us or thought of us in the private chambers of the heart, the mind, the soul, they admired us. Once I heard that tone in her voice, her deep sense of humor, I knew I was all right. Unlike perhaps thousands of youth throughout this vast state, I wasn't here for robbery or rape. I wasn't here for hurting my people. I wasn't here for crime. I was here for defending my people. I was here because I was a member of the Black Panther Party. And within a few weeks, I was back out, no worse for wear. I was out of jail and back in the swing of things. I was working on the paper, selling them, and editing stuff coming in from all the branches and chapters across the nation. My boss, editor Judy Douglas, seemed pleased with my work, and that pleased me. We worked hard to make the paper the best it could be. This young Panther was home. You've been listening to an excerpt from the book, We Want Freedom. This is its author, Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.